first three sermons in the series on Every Good Path for the Family has dealt with structure. We dealt with the foundation for the family being right, that being Christ. We've dealt with the plan for the man of the home and what God's intentions and purposes are for him. We've dealt with the lady in the home, the mother, the wife, what her responsibilities are, some of the responsibilities of the children. May I say that I believe that this series is helpful, but also if you're a parent in our church, let me encourage you to get to the Parent Training Institute on the second Wednesday of every month. We just had our first. We will be uploading that to the sermon audio. When we do, we'll make you aware of that. But we're also giving a lot of practical things in those times together and just trying to fortify and strengthen families. Tonight, I want to deal with something that is in our text that I think is very, very important to being a right path for every family member. And when I say a right path for every family member, really it's a right path for every Christian. But this can be instilled in a home, and it should be. If you look at our text, it's found in verse number 5. The Bible says, "Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God." Now, there are a number of things that are happening in verses 1 through 4. And if those things are happening, then you're going to find, or there's going to be something that you have in your life that is, it's priceless. It's called the fear of God, or the fear of the Lord. Fear serves as an important alarm system, warning or preparing us for impending danger. If somebody pulled the fire alarm in the building tonight, immediately all of us would bristle a little bit and think, we better get out of here. It's very possible there could be a fire somewhere. And that fear would motivate us in a good way. Fear, though, also can paralyze us. It can cause us to freeze when we should fight or we should flee. So there are two categories of fear. There's beneficial fear and there's harmful fear. In other words, fear can be your friend or fear can be your foe. But when it comes to that phrase, the fear of the Lord in the Bible, it is clearly a person's, it is clearly a family's friend. When you drive, think if there were no lines on the road. Truman, where's Truman? Truman just got his permit. So Truman, we're going to have this part of the message for you. Stay between the lines. Okay? The white line on the right side and the dotted line or the yellow line, full line, double line on the middle of the road. The lines help us because they keep us on the right path. And they keep us off the wrong paths. I want to teach to you the fear of the Lord in that thought tonight, that if the fear of the Lord is in your home, in your life, young people, in your heart, it's going to keep you off the wrong paths. The fear of the Lord is that important in your life, and I'm going to show it to you from the Scripture tonight. That if you stay on this right path, it will keep you off other wrong paths. It's vital. Turn over in your Bibles to Psalm 33. Psalm 33 and verse number 8. You know, the fear of a person that's without Christ, the fear of God is different than what it is of a Christian that's a child of God. Bible says, and speaking, I think, of lost people, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. My friend, I'd be scared after death if I was lost tonight of facing God at the judgment. I'd be scared after death of the wrath of God that could be stored up against you for eternity's sake, according to Romans 2:4. There's that kind of fear. But when we're talking about a fear of a believer, we're talking about a different fear. In Psalms 33, verse number 8, the Bible says, "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him." Or in other words, having this fear is an awesome reverence of God due to the fact that He's holy, due to the fact that He's just, due to the fact that He's sovereign. My, oh my, there's a distinction between me and God. I have an awe of God. That certainly is what the Bible is emphasizing here in Psalm chapter 33. One writer wrote on this subject, and I think he wrote it well. He put it in words that I couldn't think up, but I think it explains sometimes what happens in Christians' lives when reverence and awe have often been replaced by a yawn of familiarity. And when we treat God too familiar and we do not have that reverential aspect of this relationship, that respect that God is far above me. Like Isaiah caught that in Isaiah chapter 6. You remember that? Where he saw God and he saw Him high and lifted up. And he said, holy, holy, holy. And then he said what? Woe is me. Ooh, I'm undone. When we lose that, Christian, we lose something very, very precious to our lives. When we lose that, when our children don't get the fear of God, you understand there's a huge hole in their lives as far as the paths that they're going to go on in their lives. Do you understand that when God was looking for leaders in Israel, according to Exodus 18, verse 21, the Bible says, moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God. In other words, qualification here, number one, that they fear the Lord. They need that. If they're going to lead other people, they need to have a fear of the Lord. Did you know that when it describes Job in Job 1, it says in verse number 1 that he was a man that was perfect and upright and one that feared God. Did you know Obadiah? Ahab called Obadiah, which was governor of his house. Ahab was a wicked man, but did you know what the Bible says about Obadiah in that verse in 1 Kings 18:3? Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. Greatly. So, why is the fear of the Lord a starting point for the Christian life? Why is it if you're working with young people, if you're working with teenagers and you're working with juniors and you're bringing little ones up, why is it that you want to take them back or take them to this starting point of the fear of the Lord? Turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter number 1. It is the starting point. If you're taking notes tonight, it's the first point in my outline. The right path that keeps you off the wrong paths. The starting point of the fear of the Lord. A parent's basic goal for his or her children should be that they learn to live according to the fear of the Lord. Teaching them to fear the Lord is a critical first step in their Christian lives. Proverbs 1, obviously Solomon is introducing this whole book, and he's kind of giving a list of objectives. You may read that when you're looking at a job description. Hey, here's the objectives that I'm supposed to hit. Or here's a project that you're working on. Here's the list of objectives, goals that we're going to hit. Well, Solomon writes Proverbs, and in chapter 1, he gives us this list of goals. Let's look at them. Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, verse 1. To know wisdom and instruction. Boy, I'm writing this that my son would know wisdom and instruction, and by extension, all of mankind, because it's going to be in the Scriptures for them to learn. To perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom and justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety or discernment to the simple, to the person that's naive, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. Wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. And then we get to verse number 7. And verse number 7, he's giving the starting point to all of those objectives that he just gave. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What was the first objective in verse number 2? To know wisdom. How do I start my life down a path of wise choices that please the Lord. You get the fear of the Lord. Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, according to the Scriptures. If you look at Proverbs from a panoramic view, chapters 1 through 9 focuses on wisdom. In these chapters, we read about how to embrace wisdom. We read about wisdom's rebuke. We read about wisdom's enemies. We read about wisdom's benefits. We read all about wisdom in the first 9 chapters of Proverbs. We learn that to obtain wisdom, it costs something. We learn that wisdom calls, doesn't it, in the high places. You study this in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 9. But we also learn in Proverbs chapter 1, chapters 1 through 9, this word keep. In fact, in the first 8 chapters of Proverbs, we find this word keep a number of times. Can I just give you what Solomon is writing his son? Keep the paths of the righteous. Keep my commandments in chapter 3 and verse number 1. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. Chapter 3, verse 21. Keep my commandments and live. Chapter 4, verse number 4. Keep her, which is instruction, for she is thy life. Thy lips may keep knowledge in chapter 5 and verse number 2. Keep my words in chapter 7 and verse number 2. Blessed are they that keep my ways in chapter 8 and verse 32. To keep means to hedge about, to protect, to guard, to preserve. And so Solomon is instructing people, his son in particular, his family, if I put it that way, to keep. What's going to help him to keep? Well, sound wisdom, commandments, instruction, paths of the righteous, keep my ways. What does that all point to? One common denominator. The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. In chapter 9, he starts off in 1:7 with, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And we get to chapter 9 now, summarizing this long explanation of wisdom. And he says in verse number 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Everything that I've given to you between chapters 1 and 9, it boils down to the beginning of all of that is the fear of the Lord. I would argue that the fear of the Lord has keeping power in your life and in your children's lives. Teenagers, the fear of the Lord has keeping power. Remember that word keep used 18 times in the first 8 chapters of Proverbs. If you have the fear of the Lord, it will keep you on the right paths. In Psalm 34, if you'll turn over there, the Bible says in verse number 10, Psalm 34, verse number 10, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. He says, come ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Meaning that this can be taught. This can be caught. And it should be in our homes. It is a right path, a very good path. But did you also know that people can choose not to fear the Lord? Because in Proverbs 1:29, he describes a people group that being often reproved, hardeneth their neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, that without remedy he deals with, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Parents, if you want to write down something to pray for, put this down. Pray your kids will choose the fear of the Lord. That they will choose the fear of the Lord. So how can we understand and live in the fear of the Lord, preacher? I want to give you 4 truths tonight to give you a better understanding of the fear of the Lord as the right path that will keep you from the wrong paths. If you look at the portrayal we find in fearing the Lord, we've already talked about reverencing Him and His holiness. and His judgment and the fact that His eyes are everywhere. One of the first verses my parents ever taught me as a young child was Proverbs 15:3, "For the eyes of the Lord are in every place." Somebody has said this, "The fear of the Lord is the conscious awareness of God's presence in your life at all times." The fear of the Lord. Man, if I think about God being with me in all situations of everyday life, that's going to kind of form some decisions for me, isn't it? It's going to be the white line and the yellow lines through my life. Oh, God's here. Holy, just, almighty God is with me today. And so the fear of the Lord is that conscious, continual awareness that you're in the presence of a holy and just God all the time. The psalmist thought about that in Psalm 139, where he said this, "For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether." You know what the psalmist was saying? I have a fear of God. He knows everything that's coming out of this thing today. That's a serious matter. Amen. That makes me live more soberly with my tongue than if I'm living and nobody knows what's coming out of my tongue. And I'm living on social media where I don't have to face people about what I say with my tongue. I can just post it and it be done. But wait a second, before I do that, please understand God is with me. As I'm keying the things on my phone, you know what? It might be good to put things out there that really talk about the Lord in a good sense. The fear of the Lord is that affectionate reverence, according to Charles Bridges, by which the child of God bends himself humbly and carefully to his Father's law. Let me say it again. The fear of the Lord is that affectionate reverence by which the child of God bends himself humbly and carefully to the Father's will and the Father's law in his life. Turn to Romans chapter 3 because we see what a life looks like without the fear of God. Romans chapter 3, you know verse number 10 well. It's one of the verses we use in witnessing to people. The Bible says in verse number 10, "As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one." That's all of us. But then the Bible goes on to say this, "There's none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known." And let me sum this person up that lives without restraint and lives full of wickedness. There is no fear of God before their eyes. They do not understand the reverential awe and respect of a holy God that they desire to please with their lives. Parents, in your home, you have to exemplify that. You have to live that out in front of your children. Amen. You have to teach that to your children. The fear of the Lord. You say, "Preacher, what are the proofs? How do I know if I'm living there?" There's a portrayal, but there's proofs of the fear of the Lord. Turn to Psalm chapter 25. Psalm chapter 25. And you can measure these in your family's life, Dad. You know, the Bible is the greatest tool for discernment. If you're discerning in the lives of others, you're trying to discern what's going on in the heart of your young people, in your family life, you have some proofs here that you can use to detect whether or not the fear of the Lord is present in your life and in your home. Proverbs chapter 25, or Psalm 25, verse number 11. "For my name's sake, for thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord?" That's a great question in the Bible. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Here's the man that fears the Lord. "Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose." I put in my notes, him, that's the man that fears God, shall he, God, teach in the way that he, God, shall choose. That's a man that fears the Lord. That's a woman that fears the Lord. You know what then is a proof of a person biblically that fears the Lord? Because the Bible answers the question right in this text. It is one who can receive direction and instruction from God. That is a person that fears God. Who is man that fears the Lord? He's the one that God can say, that's my will, go do it. That's wrong, stay away from it. That's right. Make sure you get on that path and do it. And he receives instruction. It's interesting that the Bible talks about the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So the opposite of fearing the Lord. Parents, will you get this? Will you get this tonight? Listen carefully to me. The opposite of somebody that fears the Lord is somebody that is a fool. You understand that? You understand if my kids don't get the fear of God in their lives, that they're going to be a fool in their lives. They're going to despise instruction. They're going nowhere fast for God. They're not going to be on the path of accomplishing God's will. If we do not get the fear of the Lord, that is a path that our children must get. They must understand. In Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 7, I said, surely thou wilt fear me, comma, thou wilt receive instruction. Somebody that fears God, there is an evidence, there is a proof in their lives. What is it? They receive instruction from God. They hear it. We've been talking about the kings. You've heard me discuss the kings, portions of their lives that they operated by the fear of the Lord. Man of God came to them and said, hey, here's something to do. Hey, pay attention to this principle. And they obeyed it. And later in their life, they disregarded it. They despised it. Do you understand? All adults, listen to me carefully tonight. Your age does not guarantee that you fear God. Age does not equal fearing God. You know what equals fearing God? Receiving instruction. A heart that is sensitive to receive what God has for you. That's an evidence of fearing God. My friend, if your child responds to biblical instruction and rejects it, there are big problems going on. That is a gaping hole spiritually. That's revealing to you, we don't have a fear of God. Something's happened big. The fear of the Lord is gone. That's trouble. And it's interesting when you go back to Proverbs chapter 2, the passage that we read. It talks about the Lord giveth wisdom. It talks about out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord. It talks about instruction in that passage. A lot having to do with whether or not it's getting, watch this, the Word of God and the Spirit of God are getting down to the heart of the matter of things. And if that's not happening in your life, I don't care what age you are. I don't care if you're a 9-year-old and you say, you know what, I just don't care what mom and dad say, or you know what, they can talk, but, or you're a teenager, or you're an adult, and the Word of God is not getting in, and you're not receiving, and you're not being teachable, and you're not following something that you know is right to do, my friend, there is something that is missing that you need to regain tonight. It is a fear of the Lord. One who fears the Lord is one who receives instruction. Secondly, as we look at the proofs, one who fears the Lord is one who has the spirit of humility. The spirit of humility. Turn to Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter number 15. Look at verse number 33 with me, if you will. The right path that will keep you off the wrong paths is this fear of the Lord. And one of the ways you can measure it is how you're receiving instruction in your life. And one of the ways that you can measure it is whether or not you have a spirit of humility. Here the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. In Proverbs 22 verse 4, which we'll come back to later in the message, the Bible combines humility and the fear of the Lord. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. It's almost as though you cannot separate these two. Where the fear of the Lord is present, humility is going to be present. by humility and the fear of the Lord. Here, the fear of the Lord is the instruction, and before honor is humility. Like I can't talk, Psalm is saying, I can't talk about fear of the Lord without talking about humility. These two are tandem. They work hand in hand. Humility, that means that if I get on a wrong path, that I'm like the psalmist in Psalm 25 that says, boy, my iniquity is purged because I've humbled myself and gotten something right with God and gotten back on the right path. Now, is it starting to show up? Does the light turn on in your life yet? If you have the fear of the Lord, if your family members have the fear of the Lord, you won't stay on a wrong path long. Because that humility is that line. It's one of those lines that, steer back into being on the right path. And in order to do that, I've got to humble myself before the Lord, and I've got to confess sin, and I've got to deal with it. Because there is a fear of the Lord, there is a reverential awe of God that says, God, I don't want to displease you. And God, you're holy. And Lord, I don't want to mess those things up in my life. And God, I'm coming back to you. One who fears the Lord has a spirit of humility. Number three, one who fears the Lord delights in His commandments. Turn over to Psalm 112. Bible study tonight on the phrase, fear the Lord, feareth the Lord. Psalm 112, verse number 1. Bible says, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in His commandments. It doesn't say dreadeth His commandments. It says delights in His commandments. Or watch this. A person that fears the Lord is thrilled with the fact that they get to please God by being on the right path. I'm delighted because I know that God is pleased with me by being and following Him in this area. This is not a dread, but rather this is a delight. One who fears the Lord, fourthly, is one who departs from evil. Departs from evil. Psalm 16, verse number 6. Or Proverbs. I'm sorry, I'm reading Psalms as Proverbs and Proverbs as Psalms. I'm in Proverbs 16 and verse number 6, okay? This is what an extra responsibility like choir directing does to my mind. All right? Proverbs 16, verse number 6, by mercy and truth iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil. If you go back to chapter 14, verse 16, a wise man feareth and departeth from evil. The fear of God is a great restraint against evil in our lives. You know, there are times where Christians get overtaken by something. Okay? Galatians 6 talks about being overtaken in a fault and working to restore that person in the spirit of meekness. But I can't restore somebody that doesn't have the fear of God. Because if I go to restore and work with somebody that has gotten into something that's wrong, that's sinful, that's wicked, and they do not have the fear of God, they will not depart from evil. People that fear the Lord depart from evil. In your life, I want to challenge you tonight. If you are struggling with a sin, and you keep going back to it, and you keep committing it, I would ask you to examine your attitude towards the God of heaven tonight. I would ask you to restore that reverence and that understanding that God is a holy and He's a judge and He is a just God and He is distinct from me. And when I see God like that, I can't continue doing what I'm doing that's wrong. My friend, that's what the text is saying, that a man that fears the Lord, he departs from those things. He can't continue on in those things without it bothering him internally. Because there is a fear of God. Turn over in your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 8. I think the Bible puts this in a good light here. I would say it this way, when the fear of God is right, the heart is kept right. Amen. If your fear of God is healthy, if you have a fear of the Lord that is healthy, then you work at keeping your heart right. There's something happening in Christianity today that I do not understand. And much of it has to do with spirit sins that believers hold on to for years. And they continue in them. And the Bible says, wait, if you fear God, you'll depart from evil. Smoking's evil. Yes, it is, preacher. Drinking's evil. Yes, it is, preacher. Immorality outside of marriage is evil. Yes, it is, preacher. Yes, all those things are true. We go up a list of other gross sins. But may I say this? So is bitterness. So is anger. So is jealousy. So is wrath. Malice. All those things are just as evil. And if you have a fear of God, there is something that clicks in you that says, I can't be this way anymore. I can't live this way. This is not pleasing to God. I'm on a wrong path here. Help me get on the right path, God. I'm discarding this out of my life with your power and with your grace. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 12 says this, though a sinner do evil 100 times, that's a lot, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before Him. There's a contrast here between the sinner that does evil 100 times and the person that fears the Lord. Or in other words, a person that has a proper fear of the Lord is not going to go do that 100 times. That's a sinner. That's somebody enslaved to sin. That's somebody that's unsaved. Right? That's what they do. There's no fear of the Lord. But somebody that fears the Lord, He's using a contrast here. I know it's going to go well with them. Why? Because they're not going to sin 100 times the same thing. They're going to stop that thing. They're going to have a fear. They're going to have a reverence. They're going to have a respect of God that says, man, I can't live like this. God, please help me. I'm miserable. Get me out of this. When the fear of God is right, the heart is kept right. Christian, tonight, if you're continuing in sin in some way, it's time to revive a fear of the Lord. Amen. It's time to get that back in your life. It's the opposite. When you fear the Lord, it's not a permissive attitude towards sin. There are Christians writing today books that have a very permissive attitude towards sin. God's not permissive of sin. May I remind you of that? There's no sin that God's permissive of. It's the opposite view that says, well, you know, I'm just kind of banking on my children having to sow their wild oats. Well, you shouldn't bank on that. You know what you should bank on? You should bank on the fear of the Lord. That doesn't mean your kids are going to be perfect. Nobody's kids are perfect here. All kids have problems. They're sinners. We understand that. But if there's a fear of the Lord in their lives, they're not going to go down a wrong path like that. You know what's going to bring them back? The fear of the Lord's going to bring them back. That's the principles of Scripture. That's what the Scripture's teaching us here. The fear of the Lord. You want your kids to have. You want your family. You want your wife. You want your husband to have the fear of the Lord. It helps keep us on the right path. One who fears the Lord is one who walks uprightly. No matter what it takes. For Abraham to walk uprightly, God said, give me your son. And he did. And in Genesis 22, verse 12, God said, for I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son. You know what God was saying to Abraham? He's saying, I know you fear me because you obey me no matter what. You won't hold anything back from me. You have a fear of God in your life. One who fears the Lord follows God's prescriptions for relationships. In the context of the Christian life, in the context of marriage, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. What is a proper response and prescription in relationships? Submitting to one another. In a relationship with servants and masters, servants obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, watch this, fearing God. I go to the job site and the boss tells me, hey, this is what I need done today. I may not like it. I may wish that wasn't my job, but for the day, guess what? I'm to do it because God's with me today. And because God's with me, I want to please God. Fear the Lord. These are the proofs. One who fears God hates evil. He hates evil, according to Proverbs 8, verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Unless the fear of God is in our hearts, we will not shun sin and hate it. But the Bible says that this fear of God will produce that in our lives. Having said all that, I think it's a worthy question for you to measure the fear of the Lord in your own life tonight and in your own home. And parents, as I thought about really teaching the really young ones the fear of the Lord, the thing that you need to be watching carefully with the really young ones is how are they responding to your teaching in your home? How are they receiving the instruction in your home? Do they stop? Do they listen? Do they listen with their eyes? Do they follow what you say? Because parents, if that doesn't happen, we are not getting them down that starting point. The starting point is they receive instruction. And parents, if we're not receiving instruction, then how can we expect the fear of the Lord to be caught in our homes? That was proof number one. The proofs are there. How in your life? Because it may reveal a need for you to return to the fear of the Lord in your life. The promises of the fear of the Lord, and I'll close with this tonight. There are many promises. Well, fear of the Lord, preacher, that just means a miserable life. I don't want that because it just means a whole bunch of things I can't do. It just means a whole bunch of rules. Check your Bible. Because the Bible's loaded with promises for those that fear the Lord. I want you to see them tonight in Psalm 61, verse number 5. Psalm 61 and verse number 5. By the way, God's people, saved individuals, should be known as fearing the Lord. At least the psalmist here is pointing to that. He says in Psalm 61, verse number 5, "For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name." The psalmist is saying, man, I've come through a line here in the Jewish line. There's been a whole bunch of people before me that, you know what? They feared God. It was evident that they feared God. May the next generation of Mount Zion Baptist Church be able to say that. Man, I'm coming up through this church, but there's been some people that I'm following that, you know what, they've had a healthy fear of the Lord. And that's a good thing. Psalm 147, verse 11, gives us the first promise here. The first promise to those that fear the Lord. Verse number 11. "The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear Him." What makes you take pleasure in somebody? Is it a certain personality that you like and you don't like? You say, preacher, I'm not so much being around people that are extroverts and super friendly. They kind of make me nervous. Or, preacher, I don't like being around the melancholy. I feel like I'm drooping my head before the next paragraph begins. What makes you like people? You know what makes God like people? Those that fear Him. I take pleasure in them. I show favor to them. It really, really thrills my heart when people fear the Lord. You know, if you would revive that in your life, if you would make that an aim of your home, did you know that the Lord would take pleasure in you? The Lord would take pleasure in your family? And folks, if we as a church have a healthy fear of the Lord, did you know that the Lord would take pleasure in our church? That's a powerful statement by the Lord. In Proverbs 22, verse 4, there's another promise. It says, "By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life." Honor comes with the fear of God. Well, I'm going to just despise the Word. You know, I used to believe it worked, but preacher, I don't believe the Word of God works anymore. then don't expect life, and don't expect honor, and don't expect riches. Because a person that fears the Lord, receives instruction, departs from evil, hates evil, deals with sin in their life, practices humility, hey, that person's going to get honor. And that person's going to get life. And that person's going to get riches. That's what the Bible says. In another passage it says, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. What a tremendous promise. What's the requirement? Just fear God. Just fear God. Turn over to Psalm 34. There's a protection promise for those that fear Him. Bible says in verse number 7 of it, Psalm 34, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. I don't know about the angel of the Lord, but the last time I checked, the angel of the Lord encamping around somebody, 180,000 were gone in the morning because the angel of the Lord showed up. I don't know about you, but I want that angel of the Lord, which, by the way, is personification of Christ, theophany, the Old Testament. I want Him on my side. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. I want Him protecting me. I want Him protecting my family. I need His protection. At times, we need His deliverance. Right? And what is promised, all of that is promised to the person that fears the Lord. In Psalm 33, verse 18, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord. Psalm 128, there are promises to those that fear the Lord. I close tonight by looking at the priority of fearing the Lord. Talking about the home now, I bring it back to the home. Turn your Bibles, last verse we'll look at, Proverbs 15, verse number 16. Proverbs 15 and verse number 16. Can I tell you what the dream home looks like, Mom and Dad? It is not a five-bedroom, $400,000 home where Mom and Dad have to work because they're so much in debt and kids get very little time with their parents and God is left out. That is not the dream home. You know what the dream home is? Proverbs 15 tells you. A home with little, but with the fear of the Lord. And the Bible says, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Don't focus so much on getting your kids everything. Focus on getting them one thing. The fear of the Lord. Live it, teach it, pray for it, return to it in your life at times where you need to be revived in it, because it is the right path that will keep you off the wrong paths. And if we do not have the fear of the Lord, then our families are going to be train wrecks. Like Romans chapter 3 is a train wreck of a life that has destruction and misery, mouth is full of cursing and bitterness, and the list goes on and on and on because there is no fear of God in their lives. But if there's a fear of the Lord in your child's life and they're out from under your home and they keep the fear of the Lord, then guess what? That fear of the Lord shows up. Man, I was going this way. You know what? God brought me back. I got back on a right path again. And that fear of the Lord, man, they're brushing up against danger. Boy, there's some things that they're considering. They're considering changing some boundaries in their lives. But the fear of the Lord, that holy God perspective, I can't give that up. I was thinking about doing that, but I can't. What brings them away from that? The lines of the fear of the Lord. That's what does it. The fear of the Lord helps them to stay within some boundaries in their lives. And it will guide them. And by the way, it'll guide your family. Your kids may be into entertainment in your home. They may be into video games. They may be into movies. They may be into... You know what the fear of the Lord tells me as a dad? Look at those things. Evaluate those things in the light of a holy God. And, I don't think we should maybe do that. You know, that game, I don't think that game really, really will help us stay on the right path in our lives. Because there is a fear of the Lord. Now, parents, if we don't have it, you understand, we don't have a ghost of a chance of our kids getting it. If somebody doesn't live according to this, and somebody's not sensitive, I'm meeting with a holy God, I'm in presence, praying about my family, and God says, well, son, if you want your family to turn out right, why don't you correct this? No, God, I'm not interested. Why would my kid not take the same response in his or her life? Well, son or daughter, you want to be used by God someday? Why, you know, let's work on this area. Let's get this back in the right path where it needs to be. But I'm not interested, God. I don't want you to touch that area of my life. Wait. We're departing from the fear of God. And homes that depart from the fear of God, just being honest with you tonight, we're not going to make it. We're not going to make it without the fear of the Lord. Down the Christian path of pleasing God and being faithful to God in our marriages and being faithful to God in our personal lives and living a life of righteous conduct and uprightness and obedience and getting myself back in line when I'm off. We're not going to make it without the fear of God, my friend. We've got to have the fear of God. You understand that tonight? You understand where we're putting the emphasis is? The Bible puts a big emphasis on this. And it is a personal matter. It's for our homes. It's for us as individuals, teenagers. It's for you. You'll make a choice about the fear of the Lord in your life. Juniors, you'll make a choice about whether or not you're going to fear God in your life. Oh, choose right. Amen. Oh, man, tonight, if you're a parent, man, pour your heart out to God on the fear of the Lord in your heart, your life, your mate's life, your home. Lord, help us. Lord, help these things to be true. Lord, reveal to me, Lord, where you want us to correct and make the changes. God, I need to receive. Lord, I've been receiving instruction like I should. God, that's an evidence here. Lord, I'm continuing in sin. I know I'm doing something and I'm continuing. And Lord, I know it's not right. I know you're not pleased with it. I know I'm fighting it. But God, your word says, fear the Lord causes me to depart from evil. God, I'm leaving it. Lord, by your help, I'm done with it. I ask for forgiveness and cleansing. Let God revive a fear of the Lord in our hearts and in our families. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. The psalmist prayed. In Psalm 86, he prayed this. He said, teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth and unite my heart to fear thy name. As we talk about the good paths for the family,
thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.